Welcome to Let's Talk, a podcast for women from the Gospel Coalition Podcast Network, where we seek to apply biblical wisdom to everyday life. I'm Jasmine Holmes, and I'm here with Jackie Hill Perry and Melissa Kruger. We all got introduced on the first episode, but maybe it would be a good time to take a minute and introduce ourselves again for any new listeners.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Melissa. I'm a mom of three. I'm a wife to a man named Mike, who teaches the New Testament. And I work as the director of women's initiatives for the Gospel Coalition.
My name is Jackie Hill Perry, as Jasmine mentioned. I'm married to a guy named Preston. We have two daughters. They are ages 5 and 1. I write, speak, do poetry, rap, all that type of stuff. Anything with words is what I do.
She's a Renaissance busy woman.
No. I don't even know how to spell Renaissance without autocorrect.
Actually, don't either. Which brings me to, I'm Jasmine Holmes, and I teach middle school history, so I should know how to spell Renaissance.
You definitely should.
But I don't.
Okay.
I have a husband, Philip, and two little boys, Walter Wynn and Ezra Langston. And I am a writer, and that's about it about me.
You have nice hair.
Thank you. And good eyeshadow. I wish y'all could see it.
They can't see it, but it's...
You guys.
I keep looking at it like, I want to be that cool.
I just want to be mesmerizing. That's my goal.
That's good.
So, which is good because today we're going to be talking about hospitality. And we aren't talking about flower arrangements or recipes.
Really?
Mostly. We can.
That's all I know how to do.
We can. But mostly, the focus of the conversation is talking about how to welcome friends and strangers into our homes, churches, and lives.
Ooh.
So, I was really excited to do this episode because we're coming up on a year of owning our first home and having room to be more hospitable. People can be hospitable in any size space. Mm-hmm. I, however, am not a neat and tidy person, so it helps to have more closets to stuff things into when people are on their way over. But we have been so enjoying having brunches and celebrations and all kinds of things at our house and having people just kind of stop by. It's been a nice new season of learning how to be more hospitable. But before we get started about examples of hospitality and how we conduct hospitality, I would love to talk about the definition of hospitality. What does hospitality mean? When you think about hospitality, what do you think about?
I honestly probably just have a very cultural definition of it, mm-hmm. which I would kind of think of it as inviting people into my home. I wish I had a better theological definition of what it means, but I think of it as just welcoming people. And so sometimes I don't even think I don't want to say it has to be into a home or into a space. I think you can be hospitable at church mm-hmm. just by saying, hey, I'm really glad you're here. So I kind of thinking of it as a welcoming spirit about you, mm-hmm. but I could be completely...
Well, Webster says hospitable treatment, reception, or disposition, which means that we have to define hospitable, which is given to generous and cordial reception of guests. Oh, so, yeah, it's more disposition mm-hmm. than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that pretty much captures what I think about when I think about hospitality, just inviting people in, having a welcoming atmosphere, just being open to all kinds of people and circumstances. What are some instances that you guys have had where you felt welcomed into others' homes by hospitality?
Yeah, the most recent thing I had was actually someone who welcomed themselves into my home. and it was, they did it so well. We have some good friends. They're missionaries in Prague. Mm-hmm. And so they can never, when they come back, mm-hmm. they can't ever host people. But what they did, my friend called me and she said, we want to come over for dinner and we're going to bring everything. So you don't have to do anything.
That's nice.
And so she brought all the stuff and we made this big taco meal. But everybody was in the kitchen helping. Mm. And it was the most fun evening. And I did nothing except what someone told me to do, which mm-hmm. was like chop some peppers or mm-hmm. whatever. And so everybody was in the kitchen. The kids are cooking the rice. You know, one person's doing the ground beef. One person's doing the beans. Like, we're just all doing it together. Mm-hmm. And so she was being hospitable, even though she didn't have a home. Mm. You know, she just said, I'll come to your house. And she brought it all. And we had the best time.
I love that.
I love
it. So fun.
Yeah, I think one situation that was convicting, honestly, was... when me and Preston were moving from Chicago to Atlanta, we had two different cars. So he drove the U-Haul with his friend Chucky. My friend drove my car So it was me, her, and Eden in the back. She was two. I was pregnant. And in between Chicago and Atlanta was Nashville. So we stayed over at Ray Orland's house. And, like, when we arrived, like, one, they were up. And, you know, Saints over, like, 70 get sleepy. And so the fact that they're up, I'm like, man, like, this is tight. And then they had rooms for all of us. And then they had baskets for Eden, for me, for Preston, for my friend, for Chucky. And all of the baskets looked curated for the person. Then she had a little whole 30 dinner. And then when we woke up, she had a breakfast. And I'm like, this is just crazy. Like, I just would have set out some waters and sitting Grubhub.
There you go.
Which is hospitality, too.
Absolutely, it
but
is.
I felt like for her to be so intentional about serving us, it just made me want to be like her when I grow up.
Ortland Hotel
in Nashville.
Can you give out their number?
I cannot. But if you ever need a stopover, that's the place to be.
Wow. I love that. The basket part made me like really happy.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, that's really sweet. I'm always looking for like different ways to welcome people when they come over, and that sounds like
it was legit.
The peak.
Even the bacon, you know, because whole 30 years like bacon a lot.
I feel good when I have towels out. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Matching towel. Like, you don't have to have, again, no shame.
Yeah.
But when it matches, it's just like, oh, you gave me like two striped towels and not like one turquoise and one brown.
Yeah. I love that. My husband's from Mississippi. We live there with our two boys. And it's the hospitality state. Like, it is where people are known for being hospitable. And I had no concept of what hospitality in Mississippi would mean until my supervisor had us over for dinner and we had assigned seats that were not near our spouses. We had to sit next to somebody else.
Oh.
And there were several courses. There was a palate cleanser. And we talked about, like, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those old movies or just old TV shows where you're having a dinner party and it's like we're all talking about like politics and literature and religion and just like this high, I mean, I was just sitting there like, oh my gosh, I can't have anybody over to my house ever because if this is what hospitality means here, then it's just, this is not going to work. But then she invited us over a few weeks later and it was just a super casual, like, barefoot, still cooking when we got there, just sit wherever and just enjoy yourself kind of meal. And we talked about the difference between hospitality and entertaining.
Mm.
And to us, as our family and our dynamic, we think of hospitality as inviting people in to just come alongside us, Melissa, kind of like what you described, and to just join into our family dynamic and, you know, grab a towel, you can clean or you can cook or you can sit or you can do whatever. And we think about entertainment as more that huge several course
Thanksgiving
meal. Yeah. Where it's like a special occasion and both have their beauty. Absolutely. And I love doing both. But I think sometimes what can keep us from being hospitable is that we think that it always has to be this big entertainment situation,
which is that sounds like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Oh, it and felt like they had a whole group of servants down there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just me.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, so it's, you see some things that are put on and you realize there was a lot of help to do that. Whereas when it's just us entertaining, tacos sometimes is just the best way. I mean, to welcome people in.
And even that is a lot. It's a lot of dishes with tacos. Yeah, the cheese and the lettuce.
Paper plates.
Yeah, that's true.
Why is hospitality important?
I think it's important considering, I think if you take it outside of just the home and just consider Jesus, like he has invited us in, you know, like we are friends with him. He, like God is opening up heaven to invite, like we will live with him. And so I think of it in those terms. I think for me, hospitality is a matter of, I just want people to feel at home in my home. And so even the way I curate my space is me considering how this will help me minister better. Mm. And so this is just me, but I want to use warm colors. I want a comfortable couch. I want a nice little area rug. I want to consider how people feel in their body when they sit down. Because if you're a comfortable person, if you're comfortable physically, it usually makes you comfortable in your conversation, which allows me to be encouraging, allows them to encourage, allows up vulnerability. And so I guess, I don't know, hospitality makes room for me to love well.
I like that. You talked about witnessing, Jackie, and like having a space that's welcoming and open, and how it can help us in our witnessing to other people. Can you elaborate on the connection between hospitality and witnessing?
Well, people, because, you know, I talk about sexuality a lot, and I've advocated for hospitality and how we invite people in, because I think people have only considered evangelism in terms of on the street or in church. And so people are more prone to invite people to church than they are in their homes, but people are less likely to go to church and more likely to come to your home, I think. Especially when people have just these preconceived notions of what church is, what a pastor is, what the sermon will be, what the church will be like. Versus if I invite you into my space, not only are you more comfortable, but you're able to actually observe something that's valuable. You get to see how I love my husband, or how I love my children, how I serve people, what I watch, what I like. I get to take care of you. Do you want some water? You want some cheeses? What you need? Like that, like serving people well does wonders for your communication of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So Rosaria Butterfield has a book where it's called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. And in it, she was invited into the home of a pastor, and he never invited her to church. And week after week after week after week, they would just talk about randomness, and sometimes they would talk about Jesus. But it was her being in the home of this pastor and being invited into his space where she then became a believer. And she said, if he would have invited me to church, I would have never came back to his house. So those types of narratives and stories really stay with me to say, man, I want my home to be a place where I invite sinners and saints, and this is how they come to see Jesus.
Yeah, the things that happen in your family that are actually really different than the world, like praying over the meal.
Yeah.
That simple thing.
Yeah.
You're inviting someone to pray.
Yeah.
Where we might not do that, but over a meal it feels kind of appropriate. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Most people would just join in or whatever, but it's little things of your home that look different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that verse. I think it's in Isaiah where it says he sets the lonely in families.
Yes.
And I've loved that as I think about single people in our congregation. That's one thing my husband and I have tried to do, is to have singles into our home, especially at times of the year where they may have nowhere to go, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I'm really appreciative of my family, my extended family. They always have a, oh, anyone's welcome type attitude.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of hospitality, that anybody's welcome. It's never,
that's the hard part,
just our family.
Yeah.
Because that's really exclusive, you know. And so every year we have different people at our holidays, and I kind of love it, you know, because truthfully it keeps everybody in line.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm you sure. have to act better.
You do.
When some strangers are there.
When company's there.
It really does. It works for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that hospitality also, as so we've said this before, how all three of us are introverts. I would much rather have people in my home than go over somebody else's house like go to a party. I love, my son is one of the most hospitable people that I know. He never meets a stranger. He will say, let's go to the park. I want to see some friends. And it doesn't matter who is at the park. If they look to be about his size, and sometimes if they don't, he'll just walk up to them and be like, hey, I'm Wynn. You're my friend. What's your name?
Yeah.
And I think that that is a spirit of hospitality, going out, making friends, going out, making connections. How can we see and display a spirit of hospitality?
I think what I love that you just said about Wynn was that he goes up and expects to be friends. You know, sometimes I think, this is so bad, but I'm like, they don't want to be my friend. Like, so it's almost myself that keeps me from welcoming others, because I'm thinking about me. So it's always self-centeredness in some way, I think, that prevents our hospitality. So when I'm really being other-centered, I just see them. You know, and so I say, hey, you know, my name's Melissa. What's your name?
Just
introducing ourselves to people sometimes can just be a way we welcome them in. And I do think, I will say this, I think having eyes to see the person who might be sitting alone. Mm-hmm. So often we walk into a room, we might see the person we want to talk to.
Yeah.
And they might have five people around them. But sometimes in a room, there's someone who's just sitting alone. And so I think what Christ would do is go welcome that person.
Absolutely.
You know, and just see them.
Yeah, I do a really bad job of this. So I can't even speak from someone who's victorious, because I'm the person when they, you know, say, hey, go greet the visitors at church. I sit there. I don't want to. And I think it's just so much anxiety. Like, I'm just not a stranger person. But when I was at my church in Chicago, one thing that I did learn and kind of practice was bring along a talkative friend with me. Mm. And so they would lead the conversation, and then I could just be like, hey girl. And then that'd be that. And so I think that's one method that I have to learn to do. But I think some of the difficulties that I'm at a new church now. And so I don't know anybody. So I'm just already anxious.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I get that. I'm anxious and I'm awkward. So when I meet somebody and I want to be their friend, I say stuff like, hi, I really like you, and I think that we could be really good friends. So can we do that?
Yeah. And then they quietly run away.
Sometimes, sometimes. But like, all of my deepest relationships have started with like, hey, yeah, I like you and I'm bad at being friends, but do you want to try?
That's good though.
We should try.
That's better than nothing.
Yeah, we should try it. Jackie, you mentioned church, and that's something that I would love to talk about, how to be hospitable in church and as a church, because I have definitely been that visitor at church who, when everybody says turn around and greet somebody that you've never met, is like dying. Yeah. And wanting to like crawl out of my skin and not be met by anybody that I haven't met, because yeah, who would actually want to do that? But apparently it's what we're called to as brothers and sisters in Christ. It so is. How do we overcome that feeling in the church, as a church, and how do we reach across the aisle and show hospitality to people as a church?
Well, I know what I'm convicted of is Philippians 2, you know, consider your brother as better than yourself. Mm. And I think it's pride and it's selfish, but it's also short-sighted. Because I think in these strangers, though they may cause me anxiety now, they might give me joy later. I don't know what kind of story they have. I don't know what spiritual gifts they have. I don't know what way can they serve me and mm-hmm. I serve them. Mm-hmm. And so I guess considering the fact that it should not be all about me. And I think it's super Western, one. And I think it's super, like, we are so isolated and like, this just is not a thing in other cultures. Yeah. I think other cultures outside of America are so much more, African cultures in particular, mm-hmm. are so much more communal. And I think I would do well to just learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good point. I want to go back to it at some point in yeah. this conversation about how almost our individual mindset of the West mm-hmm. prevents mm-hmm. hospitality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because if you live in a culture where you're sharing everything, mm-hmm. you're always in each other's houses. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's so easy in our neighborhoods, you know, we don't share much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of it is from a position of privilege.
Yeah.
We're not as needy.
Yes.
And so we don't have to be as spread out and hey, help me, come over here. It's just like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. 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 So if somebody has a mixer and we want one, we just get our own.
Yep.
Rather than
Amazon.
Borrow. Yeah. 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 And so there's something about almost having need that can allow you to be more hospitable. Mm. Like the fact that my friend brought that meal over Absolutely. To my house.
That's yeah. true.
We shared in it differently mm-hmm. than if I had just made it all and kind of been grumbling behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, I've cooked for everybody. I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. Now I'm worn out, you know, or whatever. We were all together in the kitchen. We had a better time because she knew I was kind of in a season where I was worn out. And she just said, I'm bringing everything. Hmm. And so it allowed us to do it together. I don't know. I think there's something beautiful about that. But when it comes to church, I think one of the things I've learned in those awkward moments when I turn, because sometimes I was in a church for a long time. And while we were at that church, I couldn't remember if I'd met people before.
Oh.
And both my husband and I worked at the church.
Yeah.
So it could be really bad if you've met someone five times and you still don't remember. So what I started to say was, I'd either say, hey, have we met before? You look really familiar. Mm-hmm. Or I would say, hey, how long have you been here? Hmm. And sometimes people have been there 10 years. Sometimes they've been there 2 months. And that actually helps me to know how should I interact with them. Another thing that helped me, we led in our church, it was called a life group, the small group Bible study. Mm-hmm. And one thing that helped me about that, it always gave me a place to invite the new person. Mm. So having a place I could immediately say, hey, if you're interested in coming to our small group Bible study, it's at my house. Mm. So I felt like I had a place every week I could invite someone that I was already doing. And it could be, if you don't have a Bible study at your house or something, it could be that you know there's an event at the church next week and you just offer to say, hey, we're having a prayer meeting next Wednesday. If you want to come, you can come with me. Mm-hmm. Just someone to go with sometimes can be hospitable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to have it in your mind and be ready.
I got a question. When I think of, you know, small groups, invitations, I also think of some of us who are really busy. Mm-hmm. Like, how have y'all tried to be hospitable to people in busy seasons? Because it can be really hard to do that.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of last minute. I will, Melissa, what you were saying was, I was actually thinking while you were talking, I'm inviting people places. I met somebody at church who was another mom. She seemed really cool. I got her number the next day. I had something canceled, and so I just had some time in the afternoon. And so I texted probably like 10 other people. And I was like, hey, I'm making hot chocolate. Like, bring your kids, come over. 4 or 5 people came, including the new person. And it was great. And it took the pressure off of, like, I have to look down the annals of time and make sure that I have this chunk of a space in my calendar. It made it more, hey, I'm doing this. I was thinking of you. Do you want to come? So, like, that's if good. I'm going to the park, if I'm taking the boys for a walk, if I'm – a good thing about living in Jackson is we live in a really small city. And a lot of people from my church are in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. A lot of the moms are stay-at-home moms or they work part-time. And so I'll just be like, hey, do you want to – always to a stay-at-home mom, I always phrase it as, hey, do you want to break up the day? Like, come over.
Do you want to survive together?
Yeah, let's break up the day. Let's do something that will help us get to 5 o'clock when our husbands get off work. And it's – that last minute is a freeing thing.
I like that. One thing I really like that you did, rather than just get to know the new person alone – that you invited other people, because that takes the pressure off too. Mm-hmm. And it invites them to know not just you, because sometimes what I get concerned about is if they just know me, then you start to feel responsible.
You do.
For them. Mm-hmm. But if you can invite them to a community, they can get to know different people. And that's even a better way to be hospitable in some ways, because you're inviting them to know these other people well. I think that's a great idea.
I have a fun time picking friends who I think will, like, oh, I'm going to invite her because I think that she'd really get along with her, or I know that she's interested in this, and this other person is also interested in that thing. It's fun. It's my inner, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jane Austen's book, Emma, where she's like a matchmaker. I do that, but with friends. I'm just like, oh yeah, y'all would get along well, and if the three of us hung out, then I wouldn't have to talk, so come along.
Yeah, it sounds super intentional, which to me is love. You know, you foreseeing or seeing what would benefit or serve somebody else, which is really dope. I can grow and learn from you.
I mean, it sounds like love, but it's really just me trying to figure out how I don't have to talk. So,
but it's selfish. I think it's also I've learned I need to give myself and my personality much more grace.
Mm.
Like what, yes, serve, yes, step out of yourself, but what works for you, you know, you are not I am not the extroverted. I'm a man. Like I have friends that they're just extroverted people. They got coasters and, you know, the hot chocolate with the little peppermint stick cookies and brownies and let's ice them together with our 2-year-old. I don't want to do none of that.
I don't either.
That's not me. Mm-mm. But what I will do, you could come over here. And I could order some Grubhub and give you some bottled water and we could have a nice time.
And that can just be good.
That's just who I am. If you bring somebody, you got to tell me. I'm sorry. I need to prepare myself for the entrance of another human being.
Yeah. That's I'm real ratchet with it. I'll be like, I'm making hot chocolate, but I don't have milk. So stop and get that and come over. Like, Do you want to see me? Yes or no? Bring the milk.
But I love that. Almond. I like the notion of hot chocolate or coffee or tea, something that's not a whole meal, too. I mean, it's a lot less intimidating to just say, hey, do you want to come over after dinner? You know, for coffee and dessert. That can be an easier way than sometimes, because I think it can be really intimidating. Absolutely. I do still think we have like Martha Stewart in our heads sometimes of what hospitality looks like. Are there any fears that keep you from having people over?
My mood. Honestly, I get my mood can change where I just don't want to be around people. And so I get afraid that, you know, I invited y'all last week and now we're here and I don't want you to come. Yep. And that happens a lot. And so what I've had to do is just really just beg God, God, help me want to be here. Help me enjoy these people. Help me serve them. And he's been faithful every single time to just help me walk by the Spirit, which is to love. And so that's a huge fear.
That's a good point, though, about almost every time I have people over, I look at my husband and I say, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Beforehand. And I think that's sometimes a scheme of the devil to keep us from doing things, you know, and I find it about ministry too. Before I go speak somewhere, I'm like, why am I doing this
all the time?
Why are we on this podcast? Why are we doing this? Yeah, but sometimes I just think the good that the Lord wants us to do, we're always going to be tempted not to do. And I feel that almost every time. And I think knowing that you're going to feel it has helped me push through it. And that by the time they leave, I'm normally like, I'm so glad we did that.
Yeah, I'm grateful.
Yeah. But it just takes believing it's important more than feeling like I want to do it.
That's good.
Yeah. One of my favorite hospitality stories is actually we know the people who owned our house before we bought it from them. Not very well. I went over there one time. I was living in Pickens, Mississippi, which if you don't know where that is,
that sounds country.
Then, yep. There's probably like 800 people in Pickens. Okay. I was living at the end of a dead-end street on the same street as my mother-in-law and my two aunts.
Okay. In-law.
And our house, like the dead-end street backed up to the woods, which the woods backed up to the highway. So I was like literally on the edge of town with one car that my husband was taking 45 minutes into Jackson to work every day. So it was just me and my baby. And we were going to mom's group at church. But the thing of it was that when my husband would drive into town, he would take me with him, drop me off at mom's group with my little boy. And then I would be stuck in Jackson without a car until he got off work and we could all go home together. So it was just, but I wanted to go to mom's group every week so that I could get to know moms. And it was so hard. I didn't know anybody. And I was in my husband's hometown. So everybody knew him. So then at mom's group, all the other moms would be like, oh, I'm having this struggle with my husband. And I'd be like, I'm having a struggle with my husband. They'd be like, oh, Philip. And I'd be like, no,
the other husband.
The other what husband? I meant not husband. And it was so hard. And I remember one time I went to the house that I now live in for an event, like a little mom's get together. And the person who owned the house was so welcoming and so kind. And she took me aside. I never took her up on this, but she took me aside and she said, hey, if you ever want to come over and just stay in our apartment, that's above the garage, you'd be so welcome. And then that way you could come into town for mom's group and not have to worry about it. Philip could just pick you up on the way home from work and it would be so good. And I wasn't in a place where I felt comfortable taking that hospitality. That night was really hard for me because I felt awkward and I felt new and it was so difficult. And it's just such a redemptive thing to me that that's my kitchen now. That's my apartment above the garage now. And I'm able to extend what was extended to me in literally that same place to other people. And to me, that's just such a microcosm of what hospitality really is. Jackie, you kind of alluded to this earlier. It is us taking ownership of the blessing that we have been given by God. He extended his hand to us, and now we are extending our hand to other people in this echo of what he has already done for us. And I love that about hospitality. And I think that it often gets overlooked because we think about it as this Martha Stewart, more Martha, less Mary type of inviting people in and pulling people in. But it's so much more beautiful and deep than that, whether it's like tacos or fancy charcuterie, like it doesn't matter.
And I honestly think that as our culture gets progressively secular, mm-hmm. that hospitality will be more important. Just because I think we will need each other. Absolutely. At all times. When you think about the early church, they were in homes all the time, breaking bread, had everything in common. Jesus was healing people in homes. He got his feet washed in a house. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're returning back to this need to do life in each other's homes. And so I do look forward to that.
And I think about the homes. Was it Peter's mother's home where they mm-hmm. took the roof off to lower the man down? I'm like,
mm-hmm. I would have been like, y'all.
They're taking the roof off.
You did what?
You know, can you imagine? Sometimes I picture.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, what kind of roof? What are y'all doing? It?
Yeah, what's happening now? I got hay falling on. I don't know what the roof was made out of.
It's to get to someone to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're willing for our roofs to be taken off and our rugs to get dirty mm-hmm. and our couches to get spilled on.
And all our toilet house. Tissue to be used.
Yeah, because I think about it, especially when you have little kids and you're yes. being hospitable yeah. and they were playing out in the mud, and then they walk in, and they totally didn't notice the mud, and all their shoes go right through literally, the house.
Literally happened in my house when my siblings were staying with me. This yeah. is resonating.
Yeah. And it's like, it matters more that they're in my house
yeah.
you know, than that my house is perfect or perfectly pristine. Mm. You know, that I'm just, I think about what you said about Jesus going to prepare a place for us. One of the kindest things we can do is just prepare a place yeah. that people can come and be.
Yeah. yeah. And he's setting the table.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
he's the perfect model of hospitality. He is. In a real way.
I loved that what you said. I like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We are willing to shake the roof off of our house, burst down the doors, dirty the rug, do whatever to get people closer to Jesus. Okay, so today we're going to talk about our favorite things. In our discussion about hospitality, we didn't talk about recipes, but I know we can all appreciate a good dessert. So what's your favorite dessert either to make or to eat?
I'm not good at making desserts just because all desserts aren't baked, but a lot of them are. And baking is so specific. Mm-hmm. So you got to be a scientist practically. But my favorite to eat by far is German chocolate cake. Oof. There's not many people my age that I know like German chocolate cake, that but it's delicious. Just the chocolate and the coconut and just all
caramel.
Of it.
You like
just,
coconut. That's weird.
Ow.
I can't.
It's good.
I like the flavor of it, but the shaving's just like.
Blah, blah, blah. A lot of people don't like the texture. Uh-oh. I think it's amazing.
What's your favorite?
My favorite dessert to make. It's not really. It's a dessert. It's a breakfast. I make homemade cinnamon rolls from scratch.
Oh, you are fancy Nancy.
And we're going to do breakfast at her house.
I love to roll out the dough. I like to let it, like, I just love the whole experience of making homemade cinnamon rolls. And I always do either a Bailey's Irish cream frosting or a bourbon cream frosting.
Okay.
And it's just like, oh, I just love to, I'd love to make them. It's my favorite thing to make. My favorite dessert to eat is apple pie. Hmm. Very basic, mm-hmm. but it is my favorite. I had it at my wedding, apple pie.
Okay, can we put the recipes in the show notes? That'd be fun.
We should.
We should.
Because the way you just described
it, I
want
that
cinnamon bun.
It's so
good.
I have two. I couldn't decide between. I love this chocolate chess pie. I don't know if you've ever had a chocolate chess pie.
But I love a chocolate chess pie.
It's rich and fudgy, and it's so good. It's actually not hard to make. It's got 5 ingredients. So I can do that one quickly when I'm having people over. But the other one is my mom makes this almond cake. It is the best cake I have ever had. And it gets more moist the more days that go on. Mm. It has a cup of water in it. And I think I've never heard of a recipe that you add so much water to.
Is it cold or warm?
It's cold. Mm. Oh, the water's cold, yes.
Yeah, I can see that being a factor.
Yeah, it's just a really in the frosting, but it uses 3 teaspoons of almond extract for the whole cake. Ooh. You know, and so it has this rich almond flavor, and but it also makes a huge pan of it. Mm-hmm. So it's great when I'm having a lot of people over.
Yeah, and it's something different.
That's it for this episode of Let's Talk.
Come back next week for a discussion on how to make decisions. You can subscribe to Let's Talk through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Check out other shows from the Gospel Coalition Podcast Network at tgc.org/podcasts. The Gospel Coalition connects Christians to resources that apply the truth and beauty of the gospel to all of life.